God has really blessed us with children. If you would have just seen the life and the fire that they had this week, and to know that they were singing and praising God without the inhibitions that us proper people have. To see them being able to glorify God the way they were glorifying God, and to see that it was contagious. It put a spirit in here, the Holy Spirit, that was conducive to be able to reach out and touch the other people that were in here. Maybe some that were a little bit more stiff. Maybe some that were a little bit more reserved. And so there was a wonderful thing that happened this week, along with the culmination of several servants that came together and chose to sacrifice their days, their evenings, to be able to work as one body. And when that kind of thing happens, you can expect Jesus to show up. So it was a praise just to see that happen this week. And you know, this week I had an opportunity to work on some crafts with the kids. But one night I had an opportunity to be the storyteller. And the Bible story that we had this week was related to you receiving your crown of righteousness. Crown of rejoicing. And in studying for that, God had led me to another sermon that's in the same passage of Scripture. So today I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. When you find your place, say, I have it. We spoke this week about the crown of rejoicing to the kids that were in there. We were trying to let them know that there's an amazing thing that happens when you do what Jesus tells you to do. He tells you to go out and to witness to other people. And when you do that and someone else accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible tells us that the angels in heaven rejoice. Of course, we rejoice in here. We rejoice today whenever it was announced. Families rejoice, parents rejoice, grandparents rejoice. I look out and I see some grandparents where your grandchildren were saved this week. We've been praying for them. I know you rejoice, but there's a crown of rejoicing that goes when someone accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. It's different than the other rejoicing that happens because, you know, we rejoice over a lot of things. Is anybody in here, I'll use for example, has anybody in here ever rejoiced over just some good fortune that's happened to you? Let's say you got a raise at work. Anybody ever got a raise at work and you rejoiced? If you have, raise your hand, right? Now, at that same time, now how many of you saying, well, I got a raise, that's all I ever need. Don't ever give me a raise again. I'm good to go for now. That will do me for the rest of my life, right? I know you feel like somebody has said that, but you haven't said that, right? Why? Because that rejoicing was temporary. You still have a need for it. Now, how many people have ever rejoiced over the new car that you got or the new house that you moved into? Right? But were you rejoicing when that car's tire wore out and it was flat and you were changing it, or something broke on it and you had it at the garage, or that house needed fixing? I mean, I can't tell you the last time that I was fixing one of the numerous things that Miss Angie had on her to-do list for me, and I was rejoicing that I had that to do. You know, it just doesn't happen that way. I was rejoicing when the house was new and all this, but our rejoicing is short-lived, but not that kind of rejoicing. The rejoicing that you do when a soul is saved, that's eternal rejoicing, right? So the crown of rejoicing is what we were talking about then. Enough about that, because that's not what we're preaching about. There's a different sermon that's in this text. Now, I want to introduce this sermon by saying God had led me in a certain way the past several weeks. If you realize, the sermons have been all service-oriented sermons. In other words, 2 weeks ago, I preached a message called What Can I Do For You? What Can I Do For You? It was about Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus when he asked Jesus, what wilt thou have me do? Do you remember that? We were able to look at ourselves and see, okay, do we really ask God this question? Are we really asking him, what can we do for him? Do we really mean it? And then last week we talked about vessel-to-vessel ministry, right? Pouring out what God pours into us, being able to change others' lives. And then this week, on the same theme, I want to talk to you about a story that happened in the Bible that I don't know that I saw this story in this way until I began to study this week. And I was able to see something that I figure that God is trying to show us all. And so as we look at Luke chapter 5, I want to read the text of the story first, just verses 1 through 11. Then I want us to be able to speak about what I think God's trying to show us in this. One of the many things He's trying to show us. So you have your place, right? Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, do you know who we're talking about here? We're talking about Jesus. I want to set the scene for you. I want to paint the picture if I can, please. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus was teaching and preaching. But if you go back and you read the book of Luke, you know at Christmas we talk about Luke chapter 2. That's when the birth of Jesus happened. In Luke chapter 3, we see Jesus begin His ministry, but He began it. And then immediately in Luke chapter 4, Jesus went to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. How many are familiar with that? The devil tempted Him for 40 days, and Jesus never gave in to that temptation, and God strengthened Him and filled Him with the Spirit. And He began His ministry in Luke chapter 5. We were able to see that He healed many people. And if we look at all the other Gospels, we see that He had went to His hometown. They rejected Him in Nazareth. They didn't want Him there. They criticized Him, and He began to teach in the synagogues and temples. But there was something about the way that Jesus taught. Now, I asked the early service this before, but I'm going to ask you this. How many of you have ever heard a preacher really preach a good message? Yep. Some of you. So think about the preacher that you've heard preach a good message before. Now multiply that times 100. If you were to hear Jesus preach a message, those others would pale in comparison. Just the way He spoke, the way He explained, because He had the authority of God. He was able just to speak. He was the voice of God. He was the presence of God. He was the manifestation of God. So when He spoke, it was just something that drew people to Him. So He was speaking, and when He was speaking, there was a crowd that gathered around Him. So as He left one place and went down here, the crowd followed Him. And there were so many people that were gathered around Him here on the banks of this Lake Gennesaret, so many people that He decided to go out into the water and teach them from the water. So listen to what happens. Verse 2. As Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, it says, "And now two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and He prayed Him." That means He asked Him that He would thrust out a little from the land. "And He sat down and He taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, let down your nets for the drought.'" That means for the catch of fish. "And Simon answering said unto Him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net.' When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were there with him, as the draught of fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.' When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed Him." Amen. So this is a fish story. There's a lot of fish stories in the Bible. And I want to share with you today this fish story, because I think that if we can wrap our mind around what we're supposed to see in this, we'll leave here changed today. You see, I was reading this passage and preparing for Bible school. I realized that there was something that happened in this story that was life-changing for Peter. You see, Jesus entered Peter's boat, and Peter's life changed forever. Peter ended up, and we'll see in this story, entering into a covenant with Jesus on this boat. Jesus told him what he needed to do. Peter agreed to do it, and his life was changed. You say, well, how does that affect me? Well, each one of us will enter into a covenant with Jesus when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
And there are a lot of people that will not enter into that covenant with Jesus because they refuse the terms of the covenant. If you accept the terms of the covenant, then you are granted a relationship with God Almighty, the creator of this world, the sustainer of this world, your creator. You're granted fellowship and access to Him. You're given the blessings of God. And then, as a great perk, you're given eternal life in heaven, which means you will never have to suffer eternal separation from God. You will never have to suffer the torment of hell. Now the terms of this covenant are that you are to worship Him and serve Him. That's what you tell Him when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
So Peter, in this, we'll see what happened to him, but Peter's life changed. Now I want to bring to you the characters of this story that we see. Of course, we see Jesus, and Jesus was the one that was speaking. The next three characters are Peter, James, and John. Now, can you tell me what their profession was? Peter, James, and John. They were what? Now, they were fishermen. And I know this sounds like a simple question, but can you tell me what fishermen do in order to survive? What do? They catch fish. Now, does catching fish, does that alone help them to survive? They would have to do something else. They could catch fish all day long, but they have to do what with the fish? And you say, and you can't just say eat them. They have to sell the fish. They have to make an income. That's their job. They catch fish, they sell fish. They catch fish, they sell fish. They have to make an income. You say, well, I'm not a fisherman. Doesn't apply to me. Whatever you do that sustains you, that is your secular job. That's your job. You put your effort forth, and then you trade that effort in for a reward, right? They catch fish, they sell fish. You say, you're getting pretty elementary. Well, I want to. I want to take us back to an elementary state so that we can see what his message is. I want us to look at some things in this story. Now that we've determined what fishermen do, we've determined the characters in this story, I want you to see something that I think is pretty neat here. Something that's life-changing. So the first thing I want us to see in verse 1 is what Jesus was doing in this story. Now, if you read verse 1, you will see that it begins to say, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake at Gennesaret. They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. So what was Jesus doing? He was teaching and preaching what?
The word of God.
The word of God. Now, I know a lot of you are Bible students, and you realize that all of salvation, anyone's salvation, is a product of hearing the word of God. Romans 10 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what?
The word of God.
You can't just come and say, hey, this guy's got a good idea, and you can have faith in God by following this certain guy's model. No, you can't, really. You have to be able to listen and have faith and believe in Jesus Christ and what he did to get to God. So Jesus is preaching what? The word of God. Now, look at verse 2. The fishermen were doing what? Were they fishing? No. What were they doing? They were washing their nets. Now, do you wash your nets before you go fishing?
No.
They were cleaning up those nasty nets because they had drugged the bottom all night long. Had they caught any fish? So the fishing trip wasn't good. They fished all night long. They didn't catch any fish. They were washing the nets. Washing the nets is what you do whenever you're tired of fishing, you're done with fishing. I didn't catch any fish, so let's clean up and get ready and prepare to end the day. Now, this is significant because in verse 3, Jesus appeared to Simon Peter and he said, let's read it together. Verse 3, Luke chapter 5. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Whose boat did he get in?
Simon
Peter. And he prayed him, or he asked them, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. You know, I guess I read this story hundreds of times, and I never realized the significance. If you look at the story, and you don't just read the story to be a story, but you look and see exactly what happened, you'll see something miraculous happened here. Simon Peter was washing his nets. How many of you have ever hit a drought in your life? Nothing's going right. You just toiled all night long. Nothing happened. And Something's going on that's not pleasing you financially. Maybe something's going on that's not pleasing to you in a relationship area. Maybe it's a health area. You just can't seem to get above water. You're just out there giving up, and you're saying, I can't fish anymore. There's no fish. That's where he's at. Fished all night. Nothing's going my way. I'm just going to wash my nets. I'm going to clean it all up. I'm going to pack it all away. Have you ever been to that area of frustration?
Sure. Amen.
It's a giving up kind of way. Well, how many of you are going to continue to catch fish if you're putting your nets up? Well, none of us, right? But we get to that spot. So at this point, Jesus steps on to Peter's boat. Now, I want you to go back by Lake Genesaret. I want you to put your mind here, okay? Because you're going to have to see this. Peter is washing his nets. He's toiling. He's pulling it up together. He's folding it there. And all of a sudden, he looks over and he sees Jesus step on his boat. Well, if you read the Gospels, you'll realize Peter has seen Jesus before. Andrew introduced him to Jesus. He knew something about Jesus. He knew the people were teaching, the people that he was teaching. He had seen some of the miracles. He believed in Jesus, but he had to make a living, right? So as he steps on the boat, Peter is involved. He's working. He's done for the day, and Jesus steps in his boat. And then Jesus, of all things, asks Peter, Peter, would you put out a little from shore? You see, what I want to do is I want to speak while everybody is surrounded by me, and I can't see them all, so I want my voice to travel across water. So what a great amphitheater, right? He went out on the water, and he was speaking to these people. But I thought about what actually happened. In the midst of Peter's frustration, when he thought nothing was any good, Jesus made a simple statement to him. The statement is what our sermon is about today, because this changed Peter's life. This request by Jesus and Peter's answer. To translate this, when Jesus stepped into Peter's boat, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, can I use your boat? I need to use your boat. He didn't ask him to use the net. He didn't ask Peter to do anything except, can I use your boat? He didn't ask Peter to drive his boat. He didn't ask Peter to fish out of his boat. He said, Peter, I need to use your boat. Can you take your boat and move it out here a little? Now, you will see as the story ends, the decision for Peter to obey this changed Peter's life. It changed my life. It changed your life. In verse 4, Jesus told Peter to go out further into deeper water and let down your nets. You have to consider about now what Peter must have been thinking. You say, well, Peter didn't think anything. Of course, we know Peter. Of course, Peter thought some things. Peter was strong-willed. Peter had a mind of his own. Peter cut a man's ear off, right?
That's right. Come on, man.
Peter was willing to jump anybody. Peter was opinionated. Peter was a fisherman, a professional fisherman. And here's Jesus that stepped in his boat and said, Peter, now that I'm through preaching, there's something I want you to do. I want you to go out into deep water, and I want you to let down your nets. Can you imagine, Peter? Are you serious? We fished all night. Didn't just fish. The Bible says he told him we've toiled all night. That means it hasn't been fun. When you toil, it's not fun, right? How many people have tried to make it in this world and it's become a toiling job? It's not fun anymore. Hey, if you love what you do, you never work, right? But why do I find myself toiling sometimes? I make it work, don't you? You just make work out of something. And then the other thing, think about the facts here. This command just didn't make sense to Peter. Number one, Peter had fished all night. Number two, he said, put out into deep water. Well, if you know anything about netting fish, you realize that you don't go out to deep water to net fish. You want to have the net encompass everything from the ground, from the bottom of the lake, all the way to where the fish can't get out. You want to pull a net across here, right? You want to pull it through this school. So if you're going out into deep water, your chances significantly decrease. And plus, they had fished all night. So none of this made sense. And Peter began to state the obvious to Jesus. I want you to listen to what he said in verses 5. This is Peter's response. It's probably our response too. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Hey, Jesus, I hate to point this out, but we've already tried fishing this spot. We fished all night. We fished this same spot before. You say, well, he said put out deeper. Well, realize they were in the shore to begin with. They went out here. They fished. They fished there. They fished up close. They fished everywhere. They toiled all night. So the obvious thing is, Jesus, there's no fish here. I picked out, I thought, four things that I think he said. Basically, we fished all night. Number two, when he said we've toiled, that means, hey, we fished all night and we're tired. Number three, there's no fish to be caught. And number four, here's something we don't think about. Our nets are clean. And then I began to think about my life. And I thought, how many times have I not done what he's told me to do? Because, number one, I'd tried for a while and it hadn't worked. Fished all night. Number two, I was tired. I didn't want to go fish anymore. Didn't want to keep on. Number three, I just didn't think that it was going to matter if I did. There was no fish to be caught. And number four, I had other things that were in order. My nets were clean. I wasn't going to go back out unless I really thought it was going to happen. And I was no different than Peter. And here's the thing that Peter did that was different than me and maybe different than you. You see, Peter made a statement at the end of verse 5. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. Now, I love this word, nevertheless. You know, I'm a King James man. Nevertheless said, means no matter what I think. What do you mean? No matter that we fished all night, no matter that we're tired, no matter that there's no fish to catch, no matter that our nets are clean, nevertheless, taking all those things, no matter what I think, I will obey what you say, Jesus, even if I don't think it will work. I will do it because you said I should do it. Now stop here, because a pivotal thing happens here. If Peter does not decide to do something that he does not think is logically correct, if he does not decide to do it, Peter will miss all of God's blessing. And here's what I'm trying to say. When Jesus got into Peter's boat, he asked Peter to begin with, can I use your boat? That was key. Because if he never agrees to let him use his boat because of all these things, none of this happens. The next thing he says is, here's a command. If you fail to do this command because you don't think it will logically work, then none of this story happens. Peter isn't blessed, and Peter doesn't see the things that go on the rest of his life.
Amen.
All over a fishing trip, right?
Yeah.
And believe me, it applies to us. You see, they put out into this water. We learn in verse 6 that they caught so many fish that their nets began to break and they had to call for the reinforcements. They had to call for James and John. And Peter had to call this other boat. And it says James and John were his partners and they worked together to get the fish in their boats. And there were so many fish that their boats were weighted down. Their boats began to sink. Now, this doesn't make sense. Why? Well, they had fished all night. But here's the thing that happened. When Peter agreed to fish the way Jesus told him, he caught more fish than he could have ever hoped for. Fished all night his way. As soon as he dropped his nets, Jesus' way, he caught more fish than he could ever imagine. He fished all night his way, but as soon as he fished Jesus' way, he caught more fish than he could ever imagine. How many of us have fished all night our way, but we've refused to fish his way because logically it doesn't make sense to us? I mean, tell me, I have to go out and I have to fish this certain way because I need to make an income, and this income has to be to where I can go and buy my house and make my income and have my finances and have all these things in order. That's the way I've got to fish to make life happen. That's the way I've got to fish to make me happy. That's the way I've got to be secure. That's the way I fish. Is that the way you fish?
Come on, come on now.
And I fished all night. And I'm tired. And it's not working. There's no fish left. My nets are clean.
That's good, preacher.
I can't figure out how those fish were there. And the truth of the matter is, God prepared that school of fish to drop that net on, because he needed to show Peter something about being obedient to him. You see, the reason we know that is because of what happened afterwards. When you read verses 8 and 9, which we're going to read together, because I want you to see what's beginning to happen here. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, when he saw all those fish come, the boats had brought them in, and the boats began to sink. That's where we're at in the story, right? When he saw it. Doesn't say he began to give orders and say, okay, get those fish over here. Get these fish here. Hey, listen, we've got to keep them fresh. We've got to get them to market. We've got to do this. Because fishermen, well, they catch fish, but what else do they have to do with the fish? They have to sell the fish. So it's key. You ever watch the tuna show on TV where they catch the tuna and they have to get them in there as quick as they can so that it doesn't go bad? Oh, I know you guys watch it. If you watch it, I see your wives looking at you like, yeah, you watch it all the time, right? They catch one fish, looks like the other fish, looks like the other fish, right? No, it's a good show to watch, right? But it's important because they sell the fish. But not here. Listen, I want you to see what this master fisherman did. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. You see, Peter was immediately humbled. He didn't begin to rejoice in the fish. Do you hear him say, wow, look at all the fish I've caught? No. If you've ever seen somebody that really loves to fish catch a fish, it's a silly thing. You could take three men on a boat, the back of a boat, I've been there before, and when you say fish on, they go crazy. They lose their mind. Fish is on, fish is on. And they begin to trip over each other and get stuff in order and everything's serious. And they might even say bad things to each other, but it's okay afterwards and the fish is in the boat. But it's a tense moment because fish on. And then when they get the fish in, they rejoice and they high five. None of this. When they brought these fish in, guess what? When they brought the fish in, Peter fell at Jesus' knees. He fell to his knees. He humbled himself at Jesus' knees. And he said, I don't deserve to even be in your presence, Jesus. At that moment, after hearing who people said he was, and after knowing that he had done these things and seeing this, Peter knew right then, I'm standing in the presence of God Almighty, and I am a dirty man. Amen. He admitted to him, I'm sinful. And I can't even get out of this boat. It's me and you, Jesus, and all these fish. That was a state of humility that was necessary, because when we read in verse 10, James and John joined them. They were astonished. The two boats were full of fish. They were evidently thinking about a big payday with all those fish. But Jesus said something that day that changed Peter's life and also James and John. You see, Peter's on his knees, not worried about the fish. Jesus takes that opportunity while Peter is bowing at his feet. And he says this. Look at verse 10. And so it was also James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon Peter, listen to this phrase, fear not. Say it with me.
Fear not.
One more time.
Fear not.
From henceforth, say it with me.
Thou shalt catch men.
Now listen to this. Fear not. Henceforth, thou shalt catch men.
Amen.
Now, you think, well, this is a simple statement. It is, but it isn't. I want you to understand something. He makes a statement, fear not. How many times in the Bible have you heard this statement, fear not?
Amen.
I mean, so many, many times. It's almost like God has to always tell us, because where's the first place that we go? What's the first place our mind goes when something logically is not going to work out the way we think it's going to work out?
Fear.
I don't care whether it's financial. I don't care whether it's health-wise. It's something that we think is not going to go our way as far as our job, our relationships. When it doesn't seem to be working the way we want it to, we go to a state of fear, which leads to anxiety, which leads to worry. Right? Have you ever been there? The doctor just told me this, or this is what I heard about the place I work, or this is what I heard about these people in this relationship, or this is going on, or that is going on, and we move to fear. So immediately, Jesus, first words, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Anytime, if you look back through the Bible, anytime that God wanted to speak to somebody, he always conditioned it by saying, now listen, you're getting ready to hear something heavy. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear get in there.
That's right.
Don't let your own logic cause you to be afraid to do what I am telling you to do. Now listen to this. When he says, fear not, he is saying, don't let your own logic make you afraid to do what I am telling you to do. Don't let your own logic make you afraid to do what I am telling you to do. Don't let your own logic make you afraid to do what I'm telling you to do. You say, why did you say it that many times? It's that important. Do you know why we fail to serve God as Christians? Because our own logic tells us not to do what God is telling us to do. And so because of that, fear enters in into anxiety. We think that whatever we're going to do is fail. Now, go back to Peter. There's no way Peter would have chosen to do this. So he's telling Peter, now listen, I just showed you that you can catch fish where there's no fish. I just told you that you could go out deeper and fish where you fished all night, and I'll provide fish. So now I'm telling you, don't be afraid of the next thing that I'm going to say to you. Now here it comes. Henceforth. Henceforth is a King James word that means from now on, from this moment on. And when we see this word henceforth, it means that something has happened and it is a turning point. Now what happened in Peter's life right now? Well, if you know, Peter just confessed to Jesus Christ his sinful state. He humbled himself and he believed in who Jesus was. That's what happens to us when we get saved. You see, Peter had a moment on the boat.
Amen.
He realized the power of Jesus and he knelt before him and he said, I'm a sinner. Isn't that what we need to do if we need to accept Jesus as our Savior? The first thing is to say, I'm separated from God because I'm a sinner. God has no sin. Peter said, hey, I am a sinner, Jesus. I don't even deserve to be on the same boat with you. And I believe in who you are. And Jesus entered into a covenant agreement with Peter. And immediately in this covenant agreement, he began to give him his terms. He said, from now on. Now, hold on a minute. How many of you in here, don't raise your hand. How many of you listening have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Listen, when you did that, you entered a covenant agreement. And the first thing that Jesus told every single one of us is, from now on. What do you mean from now on? From now on, you will catch people, not fish. You'll put your effort into doing what I'll lead you to do, and I'll prepare the catch for you. But your new mission is to bring men into your boat, not fish. Bring men into your boat, not fish. Well, hold on a second. Now, I don't know that I can be happy. I can be at peace if I'm not bringing the fish, because the fish, well, they're my peace of mind because they pay my bills. And so I have to go out and have to work and do that all the fishing thing. Well, Jesus explained over and again, hey, here's the way it's going to work. If you seek me first, I'll provide all these things for you. But you know that men get it so mixed up. Women get it so mixed up. That we actually quit seeking him to go and do the fishing.
That's right.
Even Christians.
Preaching, brother.
And so, this pivotal thing that happens to Peter is not quite over. He's been given a new mission, not to catch fish, but to catch what?
Men.
In other Gospels, we hear it described as Jesus saying, I will make you fishers of men. Now, what do you... get for a man? Like, what kind of reward do you get for that? Well, you don't get a monetary reward. They don't pay you. Or does he? He's trying to tell Peter, you've got something way more important to do. I'm going to take care of these fish. You see, at any given time, I can give you, I can provide for you. So at this, we understand that Peter gets it. You say, how do you know Peter gets it? Well, verse 11, this is the amazing thing. I want you to watch the obedience of Peter. You see, it doesn't even make sense to us. When they brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and they followed him. Well, what do you mean? Well, here's the big thing. Jesus came into this boat and he said, Peter, can I use your boat? And then he tells Peter, even though I want to use your boat, you need to use your net. So after Peter uses his net, he catches the fish. And that's what he would have wanted all of his life, a wealth on that day. And I find in verse 11 that when they got to the land, do you know that he and James and John, and I never quite looked at it before, he and James and John didn't do anything with those fish. They forsook all and followed him. They left their boat. They left those nets they were washing. And they left all the fish in the boat. You say, well, what happened to the fish? Well, here's the fish story in the Bible that you may not have thought of, but it's there. How many people heard about the loaves and fishes? Right? Well, what do you think fed all those people that were sitting there listening to Jesus fish that day? He fed them with two fish and five loaves before, but that day he fed them with two boats of fish. You say, how do you know? Well, I know he wouldn't have wasted the fish. I know Peter didn't want the fish. He wasn't concerned anymore, right? Peter, James, and John followed him. How many of us are willing to invite Jesus into our boat, to use our boat, do what he says, and then when we see those blessings he gives us, not focus on those things and say, I'm going to stop this work I have. I'm not going to follow you yet. I need to go clean these fish. I need to go sell these fish. This is what's going to make it. No, Peter really got it. Peter said, hey, I see what you did. Now I'm ready to follow. Because of that, Peter saw hundreds and hundreds of more miracles. He could have went to the fish market at that particular time and that would have been it. One story. Hey, Peter, where's your big story? Oh, one day, listen, Jesus got into my boat. We went out to the net. We threw it in. We caught more fish than we could. Two boats full of fish. There's my fish story. No. Peter spent the rest of his life seeing Jesus work. Why? Because he didn't end the story by going back to being a fisherman of fish. Peter got it. I want to have what Peter has, do you? Some of us say we do, and then I can look back and think, I've said I did before, but did I really want to? You see, there's another fishing story that happens. These disciples finally got it that day. They left their boat. They followed Jesus. That's why we call them disciples. They went fishing with Jesus. They let Jesus into their boat. They gave Jesus control of the boat. They put away their fear. They obeyed his word. They humbled themselves. They confessed their sins. They believed. They changed their focus from material things to spiritual things of life. They became fishers of men. The story doesn't stop there. They became fishers of men. If you read the rest of the Gospels, you'll see that these disciples were able to see things and experience things that blew their mind. But something happened to them later on that you may have heard about. And sometimes people get these two stories confused. But in John chapter 21, we find that they were in a different way. In John 21, I'm not going to read it to you. I want you to go home and read it for your homework. But I want to summarize it to you. Jesus Christ had been crucified. He gave up his body. He gave up his life for us. He was bludgeoned. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was crucified. And he paid the price for the blood covenant. Right? Amen. Amen. He was buried in the tomb. He didn't stay buried. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. And then he appeared back to these disciples. Once in the room, before Thomas was there, another time in the room after Thomas was there. And it gets us up to chapter 21. And then these disciples, even then, they had sort of lost some of their motivation. They really didn't know what to do. They were still scared a little. And if you read chapter 21, I believe it's verse 3, Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And what kind of fish was he talking about? Fishers of men? No. He was saying, "I'm going back to fishing. Guys, I can't make sense of it all right now. I don't know what to do, so I'm going fishing." Well, we see a lot of the other disciples went with him. What do we do? I don't know. Listen, we're going to have some income. We're going to have some food. Jesus isn't with us anymore. So what are we going to do? We need to go make a way here. All we know to do is go fishing. Let's go back and go fishing. Nobody stood up at that point and said, "Hey, he called us to be fishers of men. Don't you know he's going to take care of us?" You see, that happens in our homes, doesn't it? All of a sudden, we open this mail, and the husband turns to the wife, and they say, "I don't know what we're going to do. Look, this is here, and I know we're trying to serve God, but listen, we're going to have to do something. You're going to have to go to work, or you're going to have to do this, and I know it's going to interfere with church, and I know you're going to have to do this other thing." And so we begin to make our own plans.
That's right. Preach it, brother.
And we begin to worry and stress, and we forget that God told us, "Hey, stick with me. You fish where I'm telling you to fish. You go out here and you throw your net out to your family and you share the gospel with them. You go out here and serve in your church and you share the gospel with your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers. You go out and throw my net into the water and I'll provide fish. And guess what? I'll take care of you." Do you know all the time, during the time those disciples walked with him those 3 years, they never went without eating. They never went without a place to sleep. They were there together. They were provided for. And all of a sudden, when they hit a rough patch in their life, they said, "I'm going to go back to fishing because this is my plan. It doesn't make logical sense not to do this. Here's what we have to do." Oh, Lord, help us. How many of us do that?
Amen.
We go fishing. And they go back out fishing and see if this sounds familiar. They fished all night and they caught no fish. Let me tell you, I've been in those seasons of life where I've toiled and I've fished all night and caught no fish. Nothing seems to be working out. Can I get a witness? You ever been there? This isn't right. That isn't right. And I'm toiling and I'm toiling. And here we've got back in the same shape. And what are we going to eat? And what are we going to do? And how is this going to work out? And then all of a sudden, they look on the shore. And Jesus appeared for the third time.
Hallelujah.
He said, "Hey, fellas. I know y'all been fishing all night, but put your net on the other side of the boat." As if they haven't had it there. When they did, they caught more fish than their nets could hold. What was he showing them? "I told you to let me use your boat. You agreed in a covenant to obey me even when it didn't make sense. I'm always going to provide for you. All I want you to do is cast your nets for me. Catch men. I'll give you these other things." So he gave them all those fish. They pulled them up to shore. Peter, once John said, "That's Jesus, Peter." Peter did the old Forrest Gump right off of the pier. Remember Forrest Gump when he saw Lieutenant Dan? And he just takes that big step and runs. That's exactly what Peter did off of his boat. "Jesus, I'm coming to you." Read John 21. You'll see it's beautiful. And they come and they pull all these fish up to shore. And Jesus said, "Hey, I've got a fire going. I've got some fish on it. Bring some of your fish. Come and dine with me. We're going to eat." You know what he was showing them? "I've got you. I asked you a couple of things. I asked you, could I use your boat? You said yes. I told you where to fish, and then I put the fish there. And I told you I would always provide for you if you were casting your nets where I told you to. I told you I wanted you to be fishers of men. If you're fishers of men, I'll give you the fish that will sustain your physical part." Guess what it takes to do all that? What Peter had at the beginning: faith. Faith. Believing in something beyond our logic. So, I had to ask myself after hearing this story, I had to ask myself and look back on my life, and I want to ask you today, if he were to judge your life, are you fishing for him? Are you fishing for you? Are you fishing for him? Are you fishing for you? Have you given him control of your boat? You say, what is your boat? Your boat is your life. It's the vehicle that's taking you from this place to the next. As I told the children, oh, we have it planned out. My boat is to go to school, to get a good enough education, to make a good enough score to where I can get to the school that I want to get to, so I can graduate, get the job I want to get to, make the income that I want to make, buy the house that I want, meet the person that I want. And so all these things work out together to where I will live happily ever after. If you are separated from God, there is no happily ever after. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. In other words, fish for me, and I'll give you fish.
Amen.
You give me fish, I'll sustain you with the physical fish that's going to take care of you. I'm not telling people in here, hey, leave here. Don't call me and say, I've decided to quit my job. I'm saying fish while you're on your job.
Amen. That's right now.
God needs a net thrown at your work. He needs a net thrown in your family. And it won't even make sense. Well, they won't hear me. It doesn't make sense, God. What if Peter would say, it doesn't make sense to go out there. Listen, Jesus is preparing where he's telling you to throw that net. And all he needs is control of your boat, man. Can I use your boat? Can I use your boat? I spent years and years of my life refusing to let Jesus have control of my boat. And it was hard. And I toiled. And I'm not saying that every day now is just a bed of roses. There's disappointments. But listen, I know at the end of the day, I don't worry if I'm going to be provided for. I don't worry about that. Why? Because I gave him control of my boat. I did a horrible job of fishing for myself. And then as he touched me and blessed me and people said, oh, you sure do this, or that was a good decision, or that's a good business decision. No, no, no. He's making it look like I know what I'm doing, but it's him. He's driving my boat. He's telling me where to go. He's making wherever I put my net out just look like I know where to fish.
Amen, brother. Right there.
If we have given Jesus control of our boat, he'll give us back the resources we need, the means to survival. If we have, then he's given us the same command that he gave Peter. Listen, I want to reiterate your command today from Jesus. From now on, you are to fish for men. I saw Sunday school teachers fishing for little children. I saw Bible school teachers fishing for little children, helpers in Bible school helping. See parents sharing the ministry. Grandparents that have ministered to their children. I saw them getting saved this week. Amen. Shared the gospel with your children. I saw them getting saved. Glory to God. Why? Because you've been throwing the nets where you need to throw the nets. And are you doing without? Are you doing without?
No.
No. No, if you're fishing for him, he'll supply all these other things. You're to fish for me, he says. If we do this, he'll bless us. He'll reward us exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever think or imagine. It will not make sense to us. Peter's life changed that day when Jesus said, can I use your boat? He'll say that to every single person in some way or another, and he said it to you. You're either in one spot or the next. You either have told him at the beginning of your life when he's said to you, you need to accept my salvation. Then at some point, you've either answered him in one way or another. You've said, hey, yes. You fell at his knees and said, hey, I'm a sinner. I'm confessing my sins. You can use my boat. You can use my life. I'm going to live for you. And he said, from now on, maybe you're there. You're a Christian in here. You've accepted him and you know it. Or maybe you've refused him and said, right now, I've got plans for my boat. I can't believe in you yet. You're in one of those two positions. If you haven't let him use your boat today, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He died for you. He loves you. You come, we'll pray together. God will save you today. He will redirect your boat. He will bless you for the rest of your life. He will give you complete access to God Almighty through him, and he will put his favor upon you. He will save your soul from eternal separation from hell. And if you are a Christian that has done that before, and he said from now on, you might find yourself the same way these disciples did. You've went back to fishing. You know it if you have. Why? Because your life's nothing but a toil. Well, what do? Well, you come to Jesus like Peter did.
Amen.
And what will he do? He'll renew his covenant with you.
Amen.
He'll say, you ready to let me use your boat again, Peter? Yes, sir. If you read the end of John chapter 21, how do we know this story is true? Three times he said, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. God's got a bigger plan for you. He's got a bigger plan for all of us than just our everyday fishing trip that we go on to make a living and supply what we think is going to be our physical need. Of course, it has to happen, but in the middle of that, you can fish for Jesus and have that peace. Where do you find yourself at today? Look at your own life and examine it. Use this time of invitation. If you're lost in here today, I would love to pray with you. I want you to leave and make sure that you know that you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. And if you're saved in here today, but you know that you and Jesus need to get on the same page in your boat, you need to be on your knees praying today. He'll give you a second chance, just like Peter. And if you're right there fishing for him, then you're the one that needs to be praising him the most up here because you're seeing the blessings of God. Stand with me, please. Father God, I love you, I praise you, and I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the day you've given us. I thank you for the message you've given us. Lord, I pray that you speak to each person here, Lord, that one phrase, can I use your boat? Can I use your life? I pray, God, that your children are submissive to you today, that we're able to look and see where we're at with you. I pray, God, that you work in this place today. If there's anyone here that's lost, they would come to salvation, Lord, and for all Christians here today. I just pray, God, that you would renew your covenant with them, Lord, as they rededicate their life to you and your purpose and agree to fish for you. In Jesus' name, amen.